Man, we're hearing some grim, graphic, fundamentally disturbing information from our guests, George and Cliff, tonight. Predictions about what's coming for all of us. And we're going to open up the phone lines in just a second. I wanted to ask one other thing, fellas, before we hear from our listeners. It's about religion. I didn't hear, you know, I don't know if that plays a factor in it's a factor in any of the stuff that you predict or where you are on religion. But is there a religious component that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, there is. I mean, I hate to bring it up, but because it can involve ours itself, it's mainly an endless debate about which superstition to believe. But
right.
We do have some predictions that religion itself is a core archetype will take a big change in December, shortly after the 12th to the 15th. In that period, we'll start seeing some evidence of it.
A big change, meaning you're not quite sure.
I should say the language we have at the moment says that it'll start with it falls under what we call the revolution metadata layer, and it in the U.S. will first show up within the evangelicals in what we call what's been labeled an unburdening. Now, does this mean an unburdening of sin? Does it mean an unburdening of their sins about money, their sins about power, or whatever? But it's almost as though there's going to have to be a national confession, or they'll be caught out somehow. And all evangelicals will feel a little bit of, and some will feel it very intensely, shame just being associated with it. Beyond that, I can't say. We don't have any real descriptors for it. We may get something in November when we're dealing with the immediacy data.
Is there some kind of an angle dealing with martial arts? That was a note that that was given to me. Is there something there that I'm not asking about?
I'm a martial artist. I've been an adept in yoga and martial arts, and I have dozens of styles that I've practiced, but the one I claim to my heart is Aikido. I can discuss it if you wish, but it obviously affects who I am and the interpretations that I offer. It also obviously affects my approach to these things. Beyond that?
Okay. We're going to go to the phones. Our wild card line, Mark in Oregon. Good morning, Mark.
Rich, good morning, George, and also good morning, George and Cliff. Good morning, Dean. Thanks for the great show. It's right on time to the way this reality is moving right along at warp speed, it seems, faster every day.
Isn't it scary?
No, I'm not scared, but I think everybody is having a different reaction relative to who they are individually.
Yeah.
Still in a state of flux, really, I think, for most people to try to adjust to things that are moving so fast in a negative way. Seem to be coming at us from all areas and all directions. I wanted to mention, you know, it's interesting, George, because I mentioned to you last month when I spoke with you on the call-in about Half Past Human and
Yeah, you're the guy.
I'm the same guy in the web box. And I mentioned that because I'd had another part that I wanted to follow, and you gave me so much time, there wasn't quite enough time to do it, but I'll mention it tonight. And I think, George and Cliff, that, you know, you'd also be interested in this, and you may have already heard about this idea, but I'm sure you've at least heard of Steve Quayle, if not actually researched some of his website information. Steve had Tom Horn on about 2 weeks ago, and if that long, it may not have been quite that long. And they discuss the Hadron Super Collider as an interface to another dimension from this dimension, which Wood is designed to do. Its main purpose for existence is to actually open up this what's called the Stargate, which I think, George Knapp, you researched at the Skinwalker Ranch, a similar thing that's of more of a relatively natural composition as opposed to a man-made engineered nuts and bolts version of it and the Hadron Super Collider, but that they want to create a black hole that will be sufficient to bring in some really evil energy into this world from the demonic realm.
So let's be clear here and state that's an opinion as to intent. You may be quite correct about the actual technology, and there's all kinds of science and even greater level information that would suggest that you are. As to their intent to why they're opening up the hole, I don't know. But I agree with you that it was more than just popping a couple of subatomic particles together to see what kind of thing resulted.
Mm-hmm. One other thing I'd like to mention real quick, guys, is that Alex Jones has mentioned it, I believe, if my memory serves me correct, but on this recent show of Steve Quayle when he had Tom Horn on as a guest, they both have no doubt of that. And nor do they have any doubt of the fact, as I mentioned, Alex Jones, I believe, mentioned it on his show about a month ago, that there's an official logo which is stamped on a plate attached to the equipment that comprises the Hadron Collider that actually is 666. I know that sounds about as outlandish as having, you know, Sasquatch crossings on the highway, but George Norrie was just talking about that last night, I think, and somebody sent him photographs of those actual road signs. There are things in this world that we have a hard time really accepting the first time around, but I believe that between the logo and what Steve Quayle's sources and research indicate to him about the actual doorway to the demonic realm and bringing them into this world in a much more powerful way is certainly something to take into consideration as a possibility. But y'all are great. I sure appreciate the show, and God bless you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for letting me know about these guys, because it sure has been an interesting conversation. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with more of your questions for George and Cliff. So stick around for Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're going to the phones with your questions for George and Cliff, east of the Rockies. Michael in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Michael.
Morning. How are you doing?
Okay.
I've been listening to your show for the past couple of weeks for the first time, and it really gets you thinking about stuff.
I'm telling you.
In fact, it's got me going back to church, even. I just want to let everyone know, and your guests, their opinion on Christianity and the Lord, how about one way to prepare for everything to come is to get right with God and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I'll let you guys discuss and go ahead and get off here.
Well, we sort of got into that a minute ago, Michael. I don't know if you might have been on the phone and didn't hear it, but these guys think that there are some big changes coming in people's beliefs in that regard, right?
And I'll be flat out and tell everybody, because it's not a particular secret or anything, I'm not Christian, I'm not religious in that sense. So that is not a particular element of life that's meaningful to me, although I've studied every religion I can ever run across and have vast quantities of books lying around me in heaps from all these different religions. So I'm very much well aware of them. It helps some people, not particularly for me.
Cliff, when you said a couple of minutes ago, you said that there'd be fundamentalists may have to
No, I said evangelicals. That's what
evangelicals.
Yeah.
In essence, and for lack of a better term, have a come to Jesus sort of revelation.
Unburdening. They're going to have an unburdening. Now, how we define that is that's where we start getting into the details, and we start missing and we start speculating. It could be that they're going to unburden their sins in front of the country for all the horrors they've brought on us these last few years, or they might have some personal unburdening. It is a shame-based. It has some other emotional components that we're able to pick up, but we don't have much in the way of details yet. Again, this is because it's religion-focused. We don't have a whole lot of nuance, and we live and die by that.
There are a number of topics already floating around, and these go to the idea, number one, of how much money has gone to the religious rights, some of the religious right leadership, as part and parcel of the current administration's election efforts and so forth.
Sure, and how they're tied into the Council on Foreign Relations and Homeland Security and all the
agencies. And especially Homeland Security, because most people don't realize that Homeland Security is actively training ministers, pastors, preachers to be a almost
control.
A control point for the population to spin it from the pulpit. So we have to distance ourselves a little bit when it comes to religion, because if you let your personal beliefs get into it too deeply when you're looking at this kind of data, it'll throw off the bigger picture for you, because you'll be hemmed in by your preconceptions.
And let me,
you're
let
saying
me
Homeland
Security.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Answer the, or speak to the caller, too.
Sure.
And that is that from a personal perspective, I've got this little story I reel out occasionally and say, my pappy is from Missouri, the show me state. And I've got a lot of pithy sayings there. One of the things he used to say was that, you can believe anything you want, but if you let another man stand between you and that belief, you're in control. You're not in control any longer. He is. So
okay.
If you want to believe in Jesus, that's perfectly fine. It's great for you and so on. But that person that's standing between you and the expression of that belief is a control point.
You're saying that Homeland Security now is training preachers as a control mechanism?
16,000 of them by current reports.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, ask Alex Jones about it. I mean, he's been covering that.
Okay, we're going to west of the Rockies, Marcel in Alaska. Good morning, Marcel.
Good morning. Hello. I have two questions for Cliff and George.
Yeah, we're having trouble with your phone line.
Oh, darn it.
I think we're going to have to call you back. We're going to have to go to a different line there. Sorry about that. Maybe you can try to get back through. First-time caller, Aaron in Fort Worth, Texas. Good morning.
Good morning, George. Love your program. George and Cliff have been a long-time subscriber to both of your work and following you since pre-2001. And just a great, great read every day.
Eating a lot of pies?
Trying to, storing them, stacking up. My question, I'll make this brief, is I know in the last Alta Series report there was a lot of details and a lot of information discussed about what you guys referred to as the Israeli mistake.
Yeah.
And was wondering if that is still something. I know in this latest run.
It's actually happened. It has occurred. The Israeli mistake was the attack on the separate provinces in Georgia as a pretext to using the air bases there to launch the attack on Iran. The Israelis came into it because all the language has been, I think we're at 96% fulfilled on the Israeli mistake. That whole time stream has already started.
Okay. Are you saying that the Israelis are going to attack Iran?
Oh, yeah. There was this little plot going in the great game, if you will, and they were stupid about how they did it, and the Russians came on in and chopped them off at the knees in their particular approach, and many innocent thousands of people were killed because of the powers of the B trying to use air bases in Georgia, which is the subset of the Khazars, Jewish. It's got a huge, it's a giant... Or it's a place like Florida for a lot of Israelis. They have second houses there, and it's got a lot of Israeli influence. And that was where the Israeli mistake came in, and the brutality, and so on. So the language has been fulfilled on that.
So, but is there still an attack on Iran coming? A big assault?
There's a desire to. We keep seeing the military popping on up, and in the chaos that's going to be coming economically, the military will play a very large role there because that's been the chief. Sales a point for the dollar, and as the dollar collapses, we won't need those people out there doing that. There will be all kinds of thrashing around, and then the Israelis are going to have to start asking themselves some questions because they exist on our dole. Without our aid, they do not exist. They don't have enough money. They don't create enough to be independent in that regard without all of our funding coming on in, and that'll disappear this winter.
We won't be able
to give aid to any other country. We'll be an aid recipient.
Aaron, thank you for the call. We're going to go to the wild card line. Tracy in Minnesota. Good morning, Tracy. What's on your mind?
Hello, guys. I love it. It's fascinating. You guys are doing a spectacular job. About the October 7th thing, about 2 weeks ago, and I thought I was pretty nuts, but I got this weird psychic vision, I guess you would call it, and it came... It came after, like, a whole bunch of anxiety just swept over me. And then what I felt was that there was going to be, three simultaneous attacks happening in the U.S. And then I heard on or around the date October 15th. And it was weird because I saw it was like I was looking down at the United States, and it looked like a triangle formation. Like, I don't know if it was geographically patterned and it looked like in the formation of a triangle. And I guess I just, now that you're saying October 7th, and then about a week ago, I think the Homeland Security said something about, you know, an alert kind of thing, and then with Pakistan happening. So I'm kind of freaked out, and I'm just wondering if you guys have had in your findings, like, anything specific that would have to do with the number 3 or triangle.
Yeah, the triangle, of course, you have to look at it as symbols. Both archetypically, internally for yourself and in the greater world out there. The triangle, of course, is the core symbol for the Illuminati and the control structures of the planet.
Oh, God.
It's inside the tetrahedron. It goes to the core of the sacred geometry. The triangle is the basis for all material universe and so on and so on. But we also have to stop and say October 15th is also when we, in our latest publications, indicated that there is going to be a little bit of military misunderstanding.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, all humans are psychic. You may be more so than most.
Okay, well, then
you don't want to share with us where your triangle was located, do you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it looked like it was like an upside down triangle, and the point of the bottom being at maybe like around Texas, and then to the right it was like, you know, on the East Coast, like maybe the Carolinas, Virginia, around that area, and then probably mid California is what it kind of looked like.
See, George,
yeah, it was the lower quadrant.
I'm trying to think. Is that an isosceles triangle there, or
what were you going to say, Cliff?
I was just going to say, you know, there you go, George, Texas again.
Yeah, you guys picked it. You picked a good spot down there.
Oh well.
Thanks for that call, Tracy.
Thank you,
one. Try to get to one more call before our next break. Eric in Milwaukee. Good morning, Eric.
Hi, good morning, guys. I've just been thinking, you know, tying a whole bunch of different things in here. You guys are talking about something catastrophic coming up, and with false flag ops kind of thing, kind of like a post 9/11 type deal. And basically, I'm thinking with the Pope talking about telling all the Christians it's okay to believe in aliens, and you're not going against your faith if you do. And in the past, we've had Project Blue Book, and now we've got Blu-ray discs. I don't think Project Blue Beam is that far off. And basically, my question to you guys, have you ever thought about running your program on the possible outcome of what I'd like to call all these people that are awakening?
We know that they impact. We know this both from our own work and also from such weird sorts of things as descriptive prophecies about the Kali Yuga, which is the time we're in now, where they say that in the Hindu prophecy, which the Hindus don't make a lot of prophecy, not relative to other religions, strangeness and anomaly, but nonetheless, some of the Sanskrit descriptions of the Kali Yuga, that particular time we're in now, a group of people called the Rishi, which Rishi means those who know or awareness.
Right.
Those people are going to pop up and start altering things. And as I say, in all of our reports, I don't think the powers that be have that many years left amongst us.
Well, I don't either. And I think a lot of it has to do, you know, I've been following a whole bunch of different stuff. You know, a couple months ago, this all kind of just started tumbling, and one thing kind of led to another. And right now, I'm really into a lot of vibration and frequency technology, Monroe Institute,
sure.
Claris technology with the Q-Link pendant, which protects you from bad, I couldn't say it's HARP technology, but I know a lot of the truckers would understand what I'm saying. When you're driving down the road and you see all those weird towers that really aren't really super high up, they're really kind of close to the ground, and they've got those weird triangular-looking things coming out of them. And I've seen a lot of them going up around here in Milwaukee, and they're saying they're cell phone towers. And I just have a funny feeling that the government's trying to do something here with audio frequency. And I know myself, I resonate very high. I'm a high-frequency resonator. And I'm worried about a lot of these people that are low-level or low-frequency type people, because I think that's what they're going to be pumping. And that's what this Blue Beam is going to be all about.
Eric, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. We need to take a short break. That's what Jimmy Buffett is telling us there. We'll be right back with more of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. Wow, we've been getting an earful from George and Cliff, our personal time monks, about things that are coming our way very soon, some very dire and disturbing things. We're going to take this break and come back and get to as many of your calls as we can in the home stretch here of Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. Welcome back. We'll get to as many of your calls as we can. Marcel in Alaska on our first-time caller line got back through, did you?
Thanks. Yes, I have two questions for Cliff and George, and that is regarding the economic change or the need for, say, food and water and gas, how do they think that perhaps Canada or Alaska may be affected. Would it be any different from the rest of the United States or anything, possibly? And the other question is do you know anything about angelic people?
Fellas?
Let's take the first. Obviously, it's going to be different for Alaska because of the same kind of things that hit you now, the increased cost for transportation, et cetera. The good part for you, up to the point of refining, is that it's a net energy-producing state temporarily. So energy and calories are going to become very important. We have some indications that weather-wise, it may be that the East Coast suffers greater climate problems this winter than Alaska will. And so it might be more critical for them to have oil stored in and wood or however they're heating. The issue for everyone, of course, will be the food and the other kinds of crises. George Ure was quite correct in pointing everybody towards Dmitry Orlov's work as a guide to what could happen when an empire collapses, because that's basically what we're living through.
Well, I would imagine the Alaskans, a lot more Alaskans, are self-sufficient.
I would imagine that's the case as well. I used to live there. I was there during the large earthquake in 58 when it became a 58-59 when it became a state.
Marcel, the second question.
Do you know anything about angelic people? I've just done a little reading about them online, and it might be just a bunch of, you know, silly stuff that can be up online. But I was just wondering if you knew anything about that.
I think I've come across some of the linguistics and led me to investigate it briefly, and by that I mean probably no more than a half an hour put into that particular descriptive language around it. I think that their descriptions are accurate, but they're describing something that is actually, or they're putting a view on it that is tainted by their personal perspective. So the angelic people thing is a larger phenomenon that is more centrally core to humans and is not so limited as in the sense of religion or spirituality as we currently define it.
So that's their interpretation of it as opposed to the reality.
Correct.
As opposed to the generic naming.
Yes.
Right. Thanks, Marcel. Appreciate it. Wildcard Line, Jimmy in Charleston, South Carolina. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How's this going? Great show tonight. I'm going to try to keep it brief, but a lot of people are out here thinking about, you know, what could it possibly be? What type of event is going to occur? You know, imagination's going wild. And, you know, just using the clues that you guys have given us tonight, one of the callers that called just a little bit ago started talking about the collider. And at that moment, a lot of the theories kind of came together for me. And I just wanted to just kind of point these out to you. If in fact, the, you know, ETs could be influencing us to use this collider in order to open up a dimensional portal, whether it be, you know, let demons in or take some of us out or just be a method of transportation, that would solve your otherworld influence on this event.
The latest I'd heard was that the collider was not going to be operating anywhere near full power for a couple of months, and it doesn't show up in the linguistics as being like a driver of what's going to come.
It's back to the
economic and military.
Yeah. And also, let's be real clear about this. When we wake up on October 7th, the, quote, trigger event may have occurred, and it may have been very small, a butterfly kind of a thing. But what we're looking at, what really has us affected here emotionally, is that we're looking at a 5-plus month period in which this will go on. Now, it may not. It is most likely that it will not be a single event, but will be a confluence of all kinds of things. So really, we don't see it as being one big bang or anything on the morning of October 7th, and then we all just live with that for the next 5 months, but life goes on as usual. No. We're talking about something that starts then and keeps going for 5 months.
In the study of economics, there was an event in 1974 where Bankhaus Herstatt in Germany failed some counterparty obligations and almost took down the entire global financial system in 74. It's that kind of a thing that we could be seeing and not putting the right mix of words to, where we could have a cascading global series of banks failing starting October 7th. You know, already we had the Russian stock market shut down for two days last week, an event that got almost no publicity in the mainstream media in the U.S., yet that's a huge one because that tells us that the nature of this collapse is global, interlinked, and completely outside the Fed's direct control. And by the way, there's now talk the Fed wants to use tax dollars to bail out even foreign banks with substantial positions relative to U.S. investments.
That almost tells you that somebody's figured out what's coming.
Oh, sure, sure. And I put on my my website how to save the day, and there actually is a way to substantially reduce the cost of the bailout through private sector co-investment. But it's not in the banker's interest to put the taxpayer first. They will make far more money by sinking the prices of the repurchased toxic waste and letting the prices be bid down as close to zero as possible, because many of those bonds are going to pay off. And instead, I suggest that a private-public partnership where the public's interest is represented over the life of the bond would actually save things. But
however, George, you're also predicating this on the assumption that the dollar...
Right. And that we understand that's not a sure thing by any stretch.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks for the call. We're going to go to Robin in Boulder, Colorado on our wildcard line. Good morning, Robin.
Hey. I have two really brief questions. The first one is, do you see the internet surviving after like 5 months go by, this 5 month period, in a usable form? And the other thing is, I'm a little bit slightly intuitive myself, and I've been getting a lot of pressing language in my head, or visions, or whatever, or combination, about digging into the earth, things underground. The words underground railroad come through my mind a lot, and I'm wondering if there's anything that's, you know, going to come from underground, or if maybe, you know, the alien visitors really don't, you know, they're not from elsewhere, they're from within the earth, or anything like that, that you see things happening under the earth. Or maybe I'm being too literal.
It could be that you need to look at it at multiple levels. We do have what we call metadata layers, which are big themes that are running out through the planetary populace. And one of them is revolution. There's a big revolution coming against the powers that be. And so Underground Railroad goes right to the idea of a civil war, revolution, et cetera, et cetera. So your mind is certainly telling you something. The question is how to decipher it in a meaningful way, and at what point it starts to become mental noise to continue with it. It may be that it wants you to go and dig a hole in the ground. Now, I've never been a particular fan of that idea for safety and survival, because we're all dead anyway. And so it's just a question of standing up and deciding how you're going to meet this death, and what kind of a person you're going to be under those circumstances. And to be honest, I'm not going to hide in a hole in the ground. Somebody's going to come and try and take us out. They're going to have to work on it a bit. So your particular approach there, it's like, well, I would really look at it as at both levels of the archetype. That relates to the social order, such as the Underground Railroad component, but then also, as you're saying, the not-from-here beings don't necessarily have to come from space. So who knows?
Well, also, what about underground facilities for survival of government, that kind of thing?
You mean like
we know that there's actually, George, what was it, 92 contracts that have been fulfilled so far for the federal government in our 50 states of underground facilities?
There's just been a huge, since about 1989 or so, the government's been digging holes all over the place. If you go out on the web, you can see the pictures of the tunnel borers. Some of these things are, you know, multiple stories high and chunking away underground. And do you and I have clearances or pay grades appropriate?
No.
Not hardly.
Thanks for the call, Robin. Appreciate it. We're going to go east of the Rockies. Mark in Nashville, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have never in my life stayed up to listen to any talk radio show, but when George put on his site that he was going to be on here with Cliff, I made an extra point to stay up. I just wanted to share with your listeners, I have read George's site for years. He is willing to put out there at his own time economic news that everybody can sit there and listen. You have two very self-deprecating and humble gentlemen on your show this evening that I'd strongly urge all your listeners to sit here and listen to. What I wanted to ask was, on the other side of what's going to be happening here soon, do we have any positive signs of all this mess that's going to come along? Is there going to be a positive fruition of this? And also, I've not heard them speak of anything geographically specific, and I wondered if they were willing to share what they, as they've said all along, intents and things aren't very clear, but do they have any geographic areas that they're willing to share? And I don't want them to cause panic in any areas or anything like that, but is there some place people should be extra worried about?
I don't know that worry, cautious, that kind of thing. You know, earthquakes are earthquakes don't kill people usually. Yeah, you could have a hole open up and fall into it, but usually it's bad engineering that gets you. We are expecting a very large earthquake in December 12th, 10th through 12th, sometime in that time period. We have indications that it's going to be related to that band of the Earth that is between 32 degrees and 36 degrees latitude north, which, of course, is like all the way through California, Japan, all these hot earthquake zones, but also that there's disturbing information now that seems to suggest that it'll be in some way involved the Pacific Northwest, which is where I happen to be. And earthquakes are nasty, bad things and cause all kinds of damage, so it's probably best at this point not to worry, but to be cautious and start strapping down anything that may fall on you while you're asleep.
And in terms of October 7, that's going to be a generalized global thing by the sound of it, at least in terms of the economic impact, with the greatest impact in the greatest economy, debtor economy at that, which is us.
And Mark, I think you might have heard them say that they were concerned about coastal areas of the East Coast of the U.S. too, as
they've
well.
They've been saying it. And that...
Okay, thank you. We're going to go west of the Rockies. Carol in Washington. Good morning, Carol.
Yes, he just answered my question, one of my questions on the Pacific Northwest. I was wondering what and when. And my other question is on the water and food. How long should we prepare for? And then can you give the survival website again?
Well, that's urbansurvival.com, and that's George Ure's site. And as for how much food and so on, that's an individual level of resources, this kind of a deal. I like to have enough food on hand so that I can help feed myself and those that live with me and those who may come asking for help. Beyond that, it's really the knowledge and the ability on what food is and how to get it, make it, create it, that is could be much more important.
And it's a judgment call about quality of life issues, I would imagine.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm a vegetarian, so it's like, you know, I can go and forage if I have to. Twigs and stuff actually can sustain you, so I don't put that much importance on it, and I don't know that we need to be panicked about this. We need to be sure, cautious, steady, and stable in our approach, because we're facing all kinds of challenges, which we can perceive of as obstacles that have to be overcome, gone around, gone under, or whatever. As far as previous questions about the internet staying up and this kind of thing, humans are very creative and very crafty. Wouldn't surprise me a bit that it does stay up.
Boy, we come in handy for something like this. Thanks for the call, Carol. We're going to go to our wild card line, Robin in Irvine. Good morning, Robin.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Okay.
All right. Well, a woman called earlier about a dream, I believe, where she had a vision of a triangular point.
Yeah, an upside-down triangle.
Right, yeah, exactly. I actually recently came across a video. It's spreading on the internet, getting viral. Seeing if you guys heard of the Galactic Federation of Light.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, they were speaking of October 15th and how they were going to reveal a spacecraft.
Oh, wouldn't
and,
it be cool?
Right, and it definitely seemed that it was going to be somewhere over Alabama. Now, I heard someone bring up October 15th earlier, seeing if that had any relevance.
The October 15th thing that we have now for us seems to suggest that there is going to be some level of giant misunderstanding within the military. That may be our U.S. military may, for instance, suddenly run out of money. If there's a giant economic crash and they can't pay people, that's going to cause a lot of misunderstanding. Or it may be that it's a military-to-military kind of misunderstanding. We don't have enough data yet to determine that.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the call. We're going to go to our first-time caller, Mike in California. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, for now.
My question is, I sort of have a grasp of how you get the what, but they haven't really explained how you get the when.
The when is determined by what we do with words is we actually deal with four-digit hexadecimal numbers instead of words per se, and we've assigned emotional values to words. Some words have a longer impact
emotions than others. Legal language, for instance, is long term, and we all dread to even hear it. Some words that are in slang are popping and hopping, and they're out of fashion and out of your mind really quickly. So we can assign time values on words and when they show up. When these words show up relative to an archetype, we count down from the day in which we found those and look at the value we've assigned to that word.
So to make it even simpler, if I was going to jack your car, would that happen before I got around to repossessing it?
It's an emotional quantifier, and so we just assign a numeric value that we're guessing. And each time we guess close to right, we say, aha, circle this and use it again. And when we're wrong, we kind of try and fine-tune it a bit.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for the call. Wildcard line, Shira in Atlanta. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
Good. You got gas down there?
Some places are out of gas.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah, I'm going to try to make this brief because I know we're running out of time. The monetary system here is really a joke, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm kind of ashamed of what I did a few years ago. I actually printed money. You know, I was counterfeiting. You know, so I did my time for it and everything, but I did it honestly, not as a crime, but I did it to prove a point about the monetary system, how they say that we're running out of money. And I single-handedly, you know, and I thought about it. I said, now, how can one person, me, can single-handedly print, you know, I mean, just a, you know, I'm just an unlimited amount of money, and the government, you know, will come out and say that they're running out of money. But
and they didn't thank you for helping them out?
No, I definitely got trouble for it. But
well, they gave you a free vacation then.
Yeah, it was the competition they were kind of ticked off at.
Yeah, they did. And seeing people go to work, it was sad, you know, when I was doing that, to see people get up in the morning and go to work and do all kind of things, you know, just to make this paper, you know, this cash, which was paper. And, but anyway, that was my point on the monetary system, the cash is being printed by them, which, you know, like one individual can do it and print an unlimited amount of money and help an unlimited amount of people with it.
Well, we're going to see a scaled up version of that as the Treasury is going to give a bunch of promissory notes to the Fed, and we're going to have all kinds of money printed up here shortly. Unfortunately, it will probably depreciate the international purchasing power of the dollar to the point where the dollar will begin a serious collapse.
We may also get the other approach, George. Remember, our original language on this was called rejected by all.
Right.
The dollar would be rejected by all, and it may be that the consortium of nations to which we owe everything gets together around October 7th and says to the Fed, we won't accept any more of your dollars.
Hey, thanks for that call. We're going to have to cut this off. Fellas, in 10 seconds or less, any parting words for each of you? A couple of seconds?
Eat pie. It's good for you.
Eat pie.
Yeah. Keep your head down and get used to a lower standard of living.
And thanks. It's been fascinating. I hope to have you back on in a month or so, and that this is all, you're completely wrong.
We hope to be.
It'd be great. It'd be great.
Thanks very much. It's been a fascinating discussion. I'll be back next week. Our guest will be Robert Bigelow of Bigelow Aerospace. See you then, everyone.